Awesome. We're going to hop in the Word. Grab your Bibles. Come on, pull out your Bibles. We're going to read the Word of the Lord this morning as we do every Sunday. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to the book of John. Make some noise if your name is John. Okay, there it is. There it is. This one's for you guys. John chapter 10. Say got it if you got it. Do you have your Bibles? Do you have your real Bibles? We have a rule in our church, only real Bibles on the front row. Praise the Lord. Yeah, okay. John chapter 10, and we're going to pick it up in verse 1, okay? If you don't have your Bibles, this is an open book test. You can cheat on your neighbor, or you can just look on the screen. John chapter 10, and we're going to read in verse 1. These are the words of Jesus, okay? So really important. You ready? Okay. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name. Turn your neighbor and say, what's your name? Just in case there might have been a love connection there, I just figured I'd give people an opportunity. And he leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant, which is often the case when Jesus started talking like this. And so he explained it to them. I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who come before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved, and they will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and to kill and destroy. Listen to what Jesus says. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm so satisfied to be in your life. Go ahead. Just say, I'm so satisfied. That one's for the people who are already married, okay? Hopefully, it's not the same person that you were like, what's your name? It's the same ones that you satisfy me. I don't know you, but oh my goodness. Verse 11. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks them and scatters the flock, and the hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money. He doesn't really care about the sheep. Jesus in verse 14 says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me. We're in a series in our church called Grow and Go. Subtitle is spiritual maturity, and we're going to get around what spiritual maturity looks like in the area of, some might call it prayer. Today we're going to call it hearing from God. Okay? Awesome. Can we pray? All right. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. It's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're bringing the word come to life. That is, you're speaking through me while you're speaking to me. Help my words be words of life and encouragement. Help them bring breakthrough. Help them bring revelation according to your will. And Lord, help us be transformed by the preaching of your word. I pray that by the end of this service, if there be anybody who's far from you, let them be drawn closer to you today. And Lord, if there's anyone here, God, who's single, but finds the person next to him attractive, I pray that you'd breathe on that. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, he was talking about me, not you. Go ahead. And then grab your seat. Worship team, get off the stage. Little known fact, that's actually a photo of me when me and my wife went hiking one day. That is not true. My goodness, Pastor, as soon as he prays, he starts off with a lie. Praise God. Comedian Lily Thomas. Has anyone ever heard of her? She's a comedian. She said this. Why is it that when we speak to God, we are said to be praying, but when God speaks to us, we are said to be schizophrenic? It's like you hear someone say, I was praying the other day. You're like, oh, yeah, that's so awesome. And God said, and you're like, wait, what? you crazy. Turn to your neighbor and say, you crazy. How are we supposed to hear God's voice? Because I believe we can. And when we think we've heard it, how do we know that it's him? I've done some extensive research heading into the sermon today. I have three daughters. Did I tell you we have a fourth daughter on the way? Praise God, did I tell you about that? God gives his toughest battles to his strongest soldiers. Praise the Lord. That's what I always say. And I did some research, and so I asked my three daughters, I said, hey, have you ever heard God speak? And my oldest, she was like, yeah, Dad, I have heard God speak. I was like, no way. When? And like, what was that all about? What did he say? And she said, I heard God speak when I got baptized. And I was like, that's so beautiful. What did he say? And she's like, I don't know. I was like, all right, I will not misrepresent you. And then my middle child, Monroe, she's my analytical one. Like, she's super, like, thinky and super smart. And I said, have you ever heard God speak? And she said, Dad, what does that even mean? That's all she said. And then I asked my youngest, who's five, Francis. FYI, church, she wants to be called Francis now. Her name is Francis. We always have been calling her Frankie. But she said, Dad, please tell the church I would like to be called by my given name, Francis. So I'm just throwing that out there, okay? I was like, I can't be mad about that. That is your name. So Francis, I said, have you ever heard God speak? And she said, yes, Daddy. God spoke to me when I was learning to swim with Monroe. And I said, what did God say? And she said, God said, don't worry, she's not going to drown you. No, she didn't say that. I made that up. I said, what did God say? And she said, God said, you can do it. How cute is that? The other thing was funnier, though, so that's why I shared that. People in this room, I know firsthand, and there's so many more that I don't know about. People in this room are going through some major big decisions in their life. There are people in this room that are caring and having to make some big, big life-altering decisions. And that's true almost always in any different season amongst different people. And I know that there's people in here and you're searching for God's voice about a matter, about a job. What job should I take? About a business decision. Like, what should I do with this business? Should I keep it going? Should I sell it? Should we take this opportunity, but it would make us move really far away? And I know that in this room, there are some big decisions that people are having to make. John 10 says that they will hear his voice and they will know that it is me, Jesus says. My ultimate job as a pastor is not to get you familiar with my voice. It is actually, my job is to get you familiar with his voice, with him. My job as a pastor is not to get you to be relying on me. It's to get you to be reliant on God. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand my unique role. I understand my call. I have no, identity crisis about that. I'm your pastor, your shepherd. I have a unique position, authority, role. I get all that. But my job ultimately is to get you pointed to the voice of God for your own life. I love this quote by Dallas Willard, and he says this. He says, "Indeed, like the Sadducees of old, many church leaders discourage the idea that God would speak to the individual. And some leaders obviously prefer that God speak only to them and not to their flock." Let me just dispel that notion up here, okay? My job is, honestly, I would prefer that you be less reliant on me, actually. Because to me, spiritual maturity is pointing you to the truth that you don't need a mediator, you don't need a go-between, you don't need an intermittle guy, you don't need a middleman between you and God. The veil has been torn. You have direct access to God himself for yourself. Who thinks that's pretty awesome? I know I'm thankful that that's true. And so let's talk about how we can hear from God for ourselves. I got four things that I just want to share. You could call them steps about how we can hear when God speaks, how we can hear God. The first thing, I mean, I'm going really deep today. Is that okay? I got some really high truths, okay? If you're going to hear from God, number one, you have to believe you can. Real deep. Real highfalutin, isn't it? You're going to hear God's voice. Firstly, you have to start with the fact that you have to believe that you can hear him. Verse 4 says that Jesus said his sheep will know his voice. So why would Jesus promise that we would hear his voice if it's impossible to do so? First step to hearing God is first believing that you can hear him. When we talk about the nature of God, we can go up to the very account of creation in Genesis chapter 1 in the beginning, which, by the way, starts with a statement, not a question. God just was. He was already there. That, how many people, that just breaks your brain? Yeah, in the beginning was God. And there's three quick things that we see about God. Number one, he's always been. He creates. And number three, he speaks. So we know he's always been. We know he's got creative power. And if you read in the book of Genesis, we see that God is a chatty Cathy. Turn your neighbor saying, just like you. In the beginning, it talks so much about how he spoke this and he spoke that. He spoke and there would be light. He spoke and there would be waters. He spoke and there would be land. He spoke and it would part. He spoke and there would be divisions. He spoke and there would be animals. And apparently God wants us to know that he loves to talk. In the scriptures, God, the phrase God said or God spoke is used over 2,500 times in the Bible. I ask you, though, do you believe that God wants to speak to you? Do you believe that you can hear God? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says that it is impossible to please God without faith. And anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Whenever I read that verse, my eyes get drawn to the fact that God is a rewarder. Amen. We get prizes. But actually, before you get to the reward, you have to know what the reward is. And actually, I believe that the deeper you get into scripture, you start to discover that the very reward that God is talking about is himself. He is our prize. He is our reward. But before you get to the reward part, it says, if you want to come to him, you must believe that he exists. You know what's crazy? And this seems oxymoronic. I believe that there are many people who come to him not believing that he exists. Like, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's religious routine or obligation or just like this is what good people do, but be reminded, our God is not an it is a who. Our God is not a force, it is a person. And so I wonder how many people have stopped coming to hear God because they've stopped believing that he's speaking. We look at Elijah, we look at Elisha, we look at Aaron, we look at Moses, and we think of them as superhumans. We think of them as somehow greater than the average you and me. But we got to stop looking at those people like that, because if God can talk to Elijah, God can talk to you. If God can talk to Moses, he can talk to you. If God can anoint David, he can anoint you. If God can work miracles through Elijah, guess what? God can work miracles through you. These aren't just Bible people superstars. You want to know who Bible people are? You're Bible people. And so being able to be in the presence of God, to hear from God, and to talk with God, it's not reserved for the few and the proud. It's not reserved for the Keydets, my VMI buddies. No, it's reserved for every son and every daughter of our Father God. How do you hear God? Believe you can. Believe you can. I'm thinking about the fact that we're going to have a baby in the house for the first time in like 5 or 6 years, praise the Lord. And it's got me reminiscing about all the things that you do with a baby, right? And it's got me reminiscing about the fact that we get to play my favorite game with little babies, hide and go seek. Amen. Who remembers that? I was hanging out with some friends this weekend, and they have a little baby, and I was just like, I kept hiding behind my wife, and I kept like playing hide and go seek, getting her gaze, and just tickled about how she would laugh. I'm so looking forward to that. Anybody, any parents like that? You miss hide and go seek? You call it peekaboo? Peekaboo. I don't say that because that's a game me and my wife play. So I can't believe I just made that joke. It was low-hanging fruit. I went for it. Oh, God is good. But I love playing hide-and-go-seek with my kids. And when you play with a little baby, it's so much fun, isn't it? But, like, the way that you do it is pretty silly, amen? Because, like, the way that you play is, like, you hide behind stupid stuff so that your baby can still see you. Right? Like, when they start to be able to be a toddler, like, I will hide behind a lamp. Be like, come find me. And then they'll come and they'll hug you, right? It's like, the point of the game is not actually to hide. Like, the point of the game with your kids is actually to be found. Because good fathers always hide in plain sight to be found. Amen? Like, I wanted them to find me. Your heavenly Father isn't playing hide and go seek with you. Like, he is hiding in plain sight. He doesn't want you to strive and strain to find him and to hear him. He's making himself very easy to be found if you would just search for him. And many of us aren't finding him because we don't even believe that he wants to be found. Okay, verse 3, the gatekeeper opens the gate for him. Listen to this. The sheep recognize his voice. They come to him, and he calls his own sheep by name. He leads them out. And listen to verse 4. He walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. What is the order? He calls, he leads, he walks ahead, and then they follow. Okay, second step to how we get to hear God. The first one was what? Believe you can. Okay, you want to hear the second step? This is really profound. Want to hear him. Want to hear him. What am I saying? What is Jesus saying? If you're going to know his voice, then you have to follow his voice. Because he's going to lead you. Amen. He's going to go ahead of you. And you have to follow it. For many of us, listen to me, I believe that we don't hear his voice because we don't want to. It's not that he's made it difficult or complex. I believe for many of us, we don't hear his voice because we don't want to. Because we know if we were to hear his voice and his leading, we're not going to follow it anyway. So we shut off our ears. It's kind of like with my kids. Whenever I need them to do their chores for the day, I feel like I have to call them several times. I have to call them. I have to raise my voice. I have to remind them. And, like, they'll be in the middle of something and, like, oh, sorry, Dad, we didn't hear you. I could walk into a room and whisper from across the room, I got some Girl Scout cookies. Oh, my gosh. And guarantee you they will all hear. Which, by the way, it is Girl Scout season. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah, amen. So I believe we subconsciously, we shut off our spiritual ears. Because we already know there's something already on the inside of us that sounds a little bit like, I don't really care what I'm going to hear because I'm not going to follow God anyway. He's not going to lead me. I'm going to lead myself. He's not going to go ahead of me. I'm going to lead myself. There are so many Christians who want to be his sheep, which means, like, I'm a part of the flock. I'm a part of godly community. I'm saved. But yet you want to be your own shepherd. But that's not how it works. When you become one of his sheep, you stop being your own shepherd. He leads, he goes ahead, and we follow. Now you have to choose who you're going to follow, who's going to lead you. Do you want to hear God? Because if we don't, why would we hear him? The truth about God is that he goes ahead of us to lead us but he doesn't force our hand. He doesn't override us. He invites us to follow him. The good shepherd does not override us. That's why it is a literal cliche that sheep are wandering sheep, that sheep wander. And so how do we hear God's voice? Number one, believe that you can hear him. No one hears him unless they believe that they can. Number two, actually want. You got to get to this place where you even want to hear his voice, where you even want to be in this place. Like, I want to be led. I want him guiding me. And when you get to that place, you want to hear him. Man, you're onto something. Number three, really profound. You're going to hear from God. You're going to hear God's voice. Number three, learn to hear it. Learn to hear it. Verse 14, he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me. And they know me. When we are first saved by Jesus, we may not recognize the voice of God. We may not. The most difficult part of hearing God is this truth that it actually does take some time, I believe, to learn to discern the voice of God. Sometimes, husbands, you ever have this where your wife will want you to send a text for her just because, like, her phone is across the room? And like, we were going to go do something, and Megs was like, hey, just text him and just say, tell him that we can't make it. And then I'll start texting, and I'm audibly being like, all right, we're out, exclamation point. And she's like, no. Don't send that. That's not how I talk. And that's going to offend somebody. That doesn't sound like me. Now, I couldn't tell you exactly how she would have put it, but it's kind of weird. If someone else were to grab her phone and try to text me, I would know. Like, there's no way you could fake being my wife over text. I can't put my finger on exactly how, but she has a sound. She has a way. And it's the same with God, that the closer you are to him, the greater your familiarity is to hear and to recognize his voice. This verse, this word to know, that in the scripture he says, I will know them and they will know me. It's interesting because in this passage, this word know is used throughout it, but there's two different words in the original language that is used here. One word is eido, which means I know. And another word is gnosko, which is also means I know. Eido means I've got head knowledge, right? Gnosko means they know me. It's right here. Eido means they know me. Gnosko means they know me. It's like, it's visceral. What's cool is that when Jesus is just teaching the parable about the shepherd and the sheep, he uses the word eido. But when he actually gets it to making plain about they know me and I know them, he changes the word. And he uses this word gnosko to say they don't just, my sheep, they don't just know me. My sheep know me. Now, there's an intimacy actually that we're called to have with God. And not to get too weird, but this word gnosko, it's the know that the Bible uses between a husband and a wife, that they really know one another. The way that we come to know God's voice is that we learn it through experience. It takes more than one Sunday. It takes more than one worship service. It takes more than one community group. That it takes more than even just being able to quote a few verses. Can I tell you something? Satan can quote some verses. It does not mean that he sounds like God. God has a tone. God has an inflection. How long does it take to learn? For some weeks, for some months, for some years. But it's his tone. It's his words, and it's his inflection. And I've heard many good-meaning people say, well, God told me this. And you hear it, and you're like, I don't know if that's God. Like, I heard you say that God said this, but if somebody ever tries to be like, well, God said this, but doesn't line up with how he normally talks to us, it just may not be the voice of God. Now, the next thing that we see in this passage, it talks about how Jesus says that my sheep will know me by name, and he knows us by name. The great news is God knows your name. We're trying to think of names right now. We actually think names are really powerful. Like, in the Bible, like, names have great significance. So we've always felt like we want to be really prayerful about, like, naming our kids, right? Our oldest, her name means praise star, because we want her life to shine in praising God and being a praise person. Our next child is, her name means river of victory. And what's wild to us is it seems like everything that she puts her hand to, every competition that she's in, she always wins. And our youngest right now, her name means freedom fighter. And we are always on the verge of blows. We are. I don't know what that is. It's like names matter. Jesus at one point gave one of his disciples, Simon, a name change. Why? Because Jesus really knew Peter. And Peter knew Jesus. And there's this moment, this iconic Peter moment with Jesus where Peter goes out and walks on water. Why? Because he had faith and he discerned Jesus was calling him to come. Matthew 14, 28 says, Peter called to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come out, to come to you, walking on the water. Yes, come, Jesus said. Now, I believe Peter called out not to just be reassured if this was something that Jesus was calling him to do out of some like crazy faith moment. I actually don't believe that's why Peter asked him to call him out. I actually believe that the reason Peter said, hey, Jesus, if you want me to, call me out. I think the reason why Peter said that was so that he could hear Jesus's voice to be sure. We've got to put ourselves in places, in environments, and in practices where we can hear the word of God, where we can hear the sound of God, where we can learn to discern the voice of Jesus in our own lives. I know he can speak, believe that he can, know that you can hear it, want to hear it, and if you are a mature believer, and you are learning to discern, or you have learned to discern his voice, at some point in your life, you're going to ask the question, God, then why are you silent now? Which is hearing God point number four. You have to obey what he's already said. You have to obey what he's already said. Whenever God is silent in your life, it's probably because you did not obey the last thing God told you to do. You don't need a new revelation. You don't need a new hot sermon. You don't need a new clip. You need obedience. People pray about stuff that God has already spoken about. God, we've been together so long, we're practically married, like, we can kind of just do whatever we want, right? Let's go on the other end of the spectrum. God, we've been married for 7 years. You know, seven's the number of completion, right? Like, I can kind of get a fresh start and kind of reboot this with somebody else, can't I? And here's what immature Christians do, okay? They take God's silence as God's approval. And you keep asking God to speak about a situation that he's already spoken about. Many Christians are praying for something that God will be silent about, not because he doesn't care, but because he's already spoken about it. He's already spoken. You don't need a new word. You need new obedience. And the beautiful thing is God has left us with a treasure trove of his word that speaks about so much of our life already. We just need to obey it. how to hear God. Number one, believe you can hear it. Number two, want to hear him. Number three, learn through experience. Number four, obey what he's already said. And number five, this is good, find freedom in it. Find freedom in it. This is the real spiritual maturity part of this message, okay? Find freedom in it. Verse 9, this is great. I don't know if you've ever seen this. I know I haven't, but I've seen it now. Jesus says, yes, I am the gate, and those who come in through me will be saved. Listen to this. Then they will come and go freely. They will come and go freely, and they will find good pastures. One of the ends of you hearing God is that you get to find freedom and good pastures. Now, I thought, and for so long, probably maybe many of you have thought, if I know how to hear God, if I know how to pray, then God will start telling me what to do. The problem is God is not trying to make you into a robot. He's not trying to get you to be told, what am I going to eat? Where am I supposed to go? And we have this theology of God speaking to us that he's going to tell us what to do every single day. As a matter of fact, one of the ways I know that somebody is a spiritually immature Christian is that they actually talk about too much about what God told them to do day in and day out. I'm just being honest. But John chapter 10, Jesus says, if you come through my gate, you can come freely. That actually prayer does not turn us into slaves. Prayer and hearing from God turns us into sons and daughters. Prayer and hearing from God turns us into co-heirs. Prayer and hearing from God turns us into co-laborers. How do I know this to be true? Look in Genesis chapter 1 again. God makes Adam and Eve, and he says, tend to the whole garden. Keep it, name it, take care of it, all the trees, eat it, whatever. Blackberries, did you know blackberries grow on trees? Yeah, I had a blackberry tree when I was a kid. Oh, one of my fondest core memories is getting covered in blackberry juice, eating every blackberry in our backyard. And he says, you can eat from any tree except for one. Then what happens? God stops talking to Adam and Eve. And we think prayer is God saying, eat of this tree for breakfast, then you can eat of this tree for lunch, and then you can eat of this tree for dinner. No, God says, I have given you the whole garden. I have given you green pastures. Now eat freely. What is the point here? You know you've become spiritually mature actually when you understand your will matters. Your will matters. Your desires matter within God's boundaries. Now, God has set boundaries. He said, you can have it all. There's just one tree. I don't want you to eat from it. There's one place, he says, don't go. But otherwise, you've got freedom. God is not looking for you to hear him just so that you can become his slave. He's looking for you to become his co-heir. And Jesus says, if you come through the gate, you know my voice, you can come freely. Prayer is perfect freedom with perfect boundaries. Perfect freedom with perfect boundaries. So once you hear God, once you've come in through the gate, first of all, you get saved, praise God. But then from there, it's once you start to learn his voice, once you want to hear him, once you go to him, then it's become like, well, where do you want to go? What do you want to do? Verse 10, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus' purpose is to give you a rich and satisfying life. And guess what? Rich and satisfying for one person looks totally different than rich and satisfying for another. And God knows you. Prayer is more about communion than it is about direction. What is the reward? The reward is not the entire future of your life as a plan laid out for you. The reward is that you will always have God's presence and that you will always have his rich and satisfying life for you. That's the goodness of God. That's the reward. Well, Lord, I need some direction about what am I going to do with this business. You know what? Well, more often than not, God would be like, well, let me talk to you about your bitter heart first. No, God, you don't understand. Should I take the money? Should I not take the money? Should I make the move? Should I not make the move? Should I stay? Should I go? And God's like, well, that's awesome. We'll get to that. But let's talk about what happened to you when you were a youth. Maybe prayer is really more about communion than it is about direction. It's more about God reminding you who you are and who you are not, rather than what you are or are not supposed to do. Here's what I want. Mature Christians understand this. The will of God for your life is not some razor's edge. Am I going to get it? Am I not going to get it? Am I going to walk in God's will? Am I not going to walk in God's will? It's like we sang today, your goodness is running after me. And I hate to say it, but we've got immature Christians that are freaking out. Is this what I'm supposed to do? Is this not what I'm supposed to do? God's like, what do you want to do? Because so long as you hear from him and abide in him and stay within his perfect boundaries, his goodness and his mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Come on, somebody. I know I'm speaking to somebody. The paradox of Christian maturity, this is straight out of a Dallas Willard book, is at once an increased dependence and an increased independence. But we don't get this. So many Christians are slamming their heads in the wall saying, Lord, where should I live? And God is shouting back, where do you want to live? Of course God leads. Of course God guides. Of course God wants to be inquired of. Of course God wants to be consulted in turn, and he wants to give you counsel. He wants to give you wisdom. He wants to give you instruction. Of course God wants to build relationship and be a part of our life. But so many of us settle for spiritual maturity in the area of prayer and in hearing from God because we have the wrong goals. We just want to be told what to do. But that is not the goal of hearing from God. The goal of hearing from God should be that you are becoming more and more mature in Christ. That you would become more an active participant as a part of God's family. Good parents do not tell their mature children what to eat. Why? Because the entire point of maturity is to release your kids into making solid choices for themselves. God wants you to know that what you want and what you need, he wants you to know those things. But then God is trying to build you into a spiritually mature person to be able to order off the menu yourself. God is wanting to make you into somebody who can make decisions. And a spiritually mature, immature person gets frazzled with every decision. Like, is this the right decision? No, be released from that. God is trying to make you into someone who can make decisions. I love this account in Acts chapter 15. There's this big drama around an issue that was dividing the Jewish believers from the Gentile believers who were coming to Christ, being filled in the Spirit, and they were trying to figure out, how do we bring everybody together? What are we going to foist upon them? What are we going to make them do? What are they going to be okay to not do? And Acts chapter 15 literally just says that the apostles, they got together and they literally came to a decision and said, how'd you come up with that decision? They said, well, it seemed good to us and it seemed good to the Holy Spirit. How awesome is that? That they were making church-defining decisions for eternity, forever, based on, it seemed good to us, and it seemed good to God. That's the goal. Now, that's not week one. Amen? Week one, you're not, it seemed good to us. No. No, you get there later. I don't know, I met this girl, seemed good to me, seemed good to the Holy Spirit. No, you don't get to use that. But the goal is The goal is to walk into a place to get to, continue to be, it, that you're so hearing from God, that you so want to hear his plan for you, that you are learning to discern his voice, that you get to the place of freedom in your life when you hear from God, that you make decisions for yourself. God wants to talk to you. God wants to speak with you, and he wants you to find freedom in it. If you receive the word, give God some praise this morning. Worship team, come on up. Amen? Amen. Amen? Amen. Amen. It's like the, it is really right in line with this, the trellis of this whole series that God gave the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Like, we're not all gonna have the same call. Amen? And we shouldn't. Thank God. And spiritual maturity is understanding that, man, once I get familiar with his voice, he empowers me, and he walks with me, and he abides in me, and he blesses me, and he says, I want you making decisions. I want you walking in. What do you want to do? One of the ways that I empower my children to continue to mature is I just ask them always, well, what do you want to do? Now, I'm not always beholden to that. Let me be clear. But it's a journey. It's a journey, right? And so when we go out to eat, what do you want to eat? Order off the menu. What do you want to eat? And she gets to hear and discern my voice, and I get to speak into a wisdom. But there's going to be a day where I'm hoping that as she's discerned my voice and that she's heard from me, that she's wanted to hear from me, man, that she's going to go and she's going to be able to make mature and healthy decisions all of their lives. That's God's plan for you. And there's some of you that you're racking your brain. Is this the will of God? Is this right? Am I supposed to do this? Should I buy? Should I sell? Is this gonna impact my family? Is this gonna mess everything up? Listen, God is for you. God is for you. Amen? And God will keep you, and he will bless you. He will cover you, and his goodness and his mercy will always be with you. Come on, if you receive that, amen? Amen?